Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, there is so much holiday news, from food to merchandise to decorations. We talk about it all. Some tiki mugs are available.
Changes in Avengers Campus, Disney Plus at the resort in a big way. We finish our cruise talk with Kate and Jude and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of November 10th, 2021. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank Kelsey B., Bonnie P., Christy J., and Jordan S., all for becoming weekly tiers and supporting the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. The weekly tiers in our supporter Discord chat are amazing. There's always lively discussion about Disney happening with tips, tricks, direct access to us daily, and so much more. If you would like to become a weekly tier yourself and have more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, the holidays are quickly approaching, and we will be sending out postcards again this year to all of our supporters at every level. If you're currently a supporter on Patreon, please log in and make sure that your address is up to date so you can get your card. If you'd like to get a postcard from us, please head on over to dlweekly.net/support to become an official weekly tier and get on the list.
Speaking of the holidays, don't forget that we have some amazing, if I may say so myself, some great DL Weekly merch in our store. So if you are thinking about something, or if you need to add a couple things to your own wish list, please head on over to store.dlweekly.net to check it out. Now let's get to the news. Holidays at the Disneyland Resort start this Friday, November 12th, but the parks are already showing their holiday spirit. Sleeping Beauty Castle is decked out with snow and garland, joining Main Street, Toontown, New Orleans Square, and pretty much everywhere else in the park. Disneyland and Disney California Adventure have installed their massive Christmas trees in Town Square at Disneyland and on Buena Vista Street over in DCA.
Of course, you know, it is that time of the year where it all is. That stuff is going to be there. They really pumped up the fact that they put the tree up, because I saw the Disneyland ambassadors on Instagram had a thing. I saw a bunch of people. One of our weekly tiers, Sammy, was in the parks. She like went the next day because she saw that the tree had been put up. So it's been very quick that they got decorations. And honestly, I feel bad. So apparently I've been checked out or something, because I did not realize how much decorations Main Street had already had before.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they had swapped it over from Halloween so quickly. So it's just such a pretty time of year at the parks, and I love seeing all the decorations.
You know, I feel that it's such a big deal this year, especially because we didn't have the holiday season in Disneyland last year, right? We didn't have a decorated castle last year. We didn't have the Christmas trees and all the decorations all over the place. So I think it's just even more special and kind of more important this year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so it'll be nice that people could spend the holiday season at the resort again with all the lovely decorations. Well, the foodie guide for the holidays at Disneyland has finally made it online this week. The items on the list will be available November 12th through January 9th. Some of the highlights for us include the cookie butter creme brulee with cookie crumbles and chocolate brownie, a large assortment of churros, a peppermint holiday sundae, the seafood boil for two, and more. For all the food and locations, check out the link in our show notes. Where do you even start with this, Teresa?
I can't. There are just so many amazing things. One thing that I am very sad, pumped for, but sad that I'm missing is there. Let me find where it is now before I forget. Red Rose Tavern, eggnog cold brew, cold brew coffee and eggnog topped with whipped cream and holiday spices. Yum. Yes, I am. And I'm very sad that I will be missing this one. I think you and I need to somehow like sneak out there without anyone knowing, like any of our like home people knowing, just sneak out there quick. Cause man,
I don't know how that works.
Oh, I don't know how that works either, but
are you an eggnog fan?
So eggnog plus cold brew. I'm for it. There's also a lot of really good sounding savory dishes too, to me. There was, where was it? Over at the French Market, there's going to be smothered beef with mashed potatoes, seasonal vegetables, caramelized onions, and roasted garlic au jus. Yum. The wedding cake's still there. I think it's funny that they keep including the wedding cake in the foodie guides because it's
so popular.
It's I feel like it's a permanent fixture now on the menu.
Yeah, the pastrami Reuben looks massive. Like, it's got this cool sauce and stuff going on with it. It looks kind of interesting. It's large pickles on it. I think I saw somewhere that there's, what, like 14 different churros between this and
crazy,
the other event.
Crazy amount of churros.
It's like,
yes,
they went crazy overboard with the churro. Do you know what this purple looking drink is?
I think that might be the holiday lemonade, which is butterfly pea tea, orange juice, and lemonade. I'm not positive, but that's my guess.
It looks very pretty. So does this, is this like a milkshake with the, it looks like a Mickey Santa hat,
yes,
on it?
It's so cute.
Yeah, there's a
I
lot
I think that one's over
stuff
at Schmoozie's. So, oh, so many yummy
donuts?
Things.
Like Mickey ear donuts?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, I've never even seen some of these.
I mean,
oh, this like pineapple, up. Is this a pineapple upside down cake thing? It looks really good. Pineapple upside down cake, yep,
it
at
is
the
pineapple
Tombaro
upside
Terrace
down cake. There, it just, I mean, I don't know if you can go wrong. And I like,
there's too much.
Good luck to all of you going there for the holidays and locals that are going to be hanging out and going multiple times during the holidays, because I don't know how you're going to choose. There's so many yummy looking things on this menu.
Too many to choose from. The season needs to be longer, apparently.
Well, what is better than one foodie guide this week? Two foodie guides. The Festival of Holidays guide was also posted this week with 9 booths and other special food offerings at regular locations like Churro Carts and the Paradise Garden Grill. There is something for everyone. For the full guide to plan your visit, check out the link in the show notes.
Again, like, there isn't already enough food. This is a whole separate list of food. Oh, I love the idea of this reimagined beef brisket Wellington.
Seriously, when they posted these this week, I was like floored at the first foodie guides. I'm like, oh my gosh, so like the resort foodie guides, yeah, so many great things. I just, how do you choose? And then I think it was the next day, bam, they hit us with the second foodie guide. I'm like, ah, really, how do you choose? Because, man, I don't know what it is, and I feel like every time they come out with a foodie guide, I say this, but they just keep outdoing themselves each time.
Somehow.
Each foodie guide comes out and I'm somehow more excited about it than I was the previous one. Yeah. Delicious.
A hot cocoa marshmallow macaron looks amazing. It's got this like white chocolate flame looking thing with some small little tiny marshmallow. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to tell what size because, I mean, that macaron we had when we were there for Oogie Boogie Bash was massive. So, I mean, these could be normal sized marshmallows for all we know. there's a lot of good stuff here. There's
Impossible chorizo queso fundido with house-made tortilla chips.
How about a maple hazelnut hot buttered rum?
I don't even drink rum,
but that sounds good.
It's almost like I look through these lists, and it would be smarter for me to make a list of the things I do not want to try, because that would be a much shorter list than the things that I do want to try. There's also prickly pear tea lemonade. Yum. You can get that over at the new Joffrey's Coffee and Tea Company. Yum. Oh, yum. And then there's, you know, the other thing that I'm really excited about with this foodie guide, I feel like there's a lot more plant-based options on this one too. I really am excited for more options like that. I'm not vegetarian or vegan myself, but I do really enjoy these dishes that they come out with at the parks, and yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think the couple things that we've tried that were vegetarian options were very good that
Yum.
We've tried in the park.
Yes.
So very excited about that. I guess I'll challenge all of our weekly tiers that between the entire community, we need to get everything checked off this list.
I'm sorry. I forgot about this one.
Oh, no.
So we've got eggnog cold brew in
yep.
Disneyland.
Uh-oh. Is there another cold brew?
Churro toffee cold brew latte over at Joffrey's. Oh, I'm telling you.
I bless a trip if you want to go on a trip.
Just go by
I
myself
you.
And eat all of the food. All of the food, drink all of the coffee.
You don't eat that much. That's the problem.
I know. That's why you need to come with me to like finish.
You need Vern to go with you.
But man, I need a teleporter. That's it. I just need a teleporter so I can teleport on the weekends.
I mean, that would be wonderful.
And somehow like teleport right into the park so I don't have to worry about reservations. I can just go right in. It's fine.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Well, speaking of the food festival there, the Festival of the Holidays. As of a few days ago, the first booths for the Festival of the Holidays begun to appear at Disney California Adventure. The festival will take place through the holiday season at the resort. So not much to talk about here other than the booths are here.
Oh, It's just, it's exciting. Festival of the Holidays is not something I have taken part in yet, but it's definitely on my Disney bucket list. And it's just cool and fun. Again, there's just something more exciting this year about these things happening again since we missed it last year. So it's just, I'm very excited to see this all kind of like come together, have the holidays in pretty much full swing. Of course, we're going to be missing certain things, like World of Color still is not going, Fantasmic is not going, but still, it's just very, very exciting. Well, with the return of the Festival of the Holidays, there is so much to taste and drink, as we've already talked about, that it can be hard to choose what to do. The Sip and Savor Pass has returned to help. Each pass includes 8 food or beverage items. Pricing has not been announced as of this recording, but has been $54 in the past. The other cool thing is they are talking about if anybody has the expired Sip and Savor passes from, I believe it was 2020, was the last time we could have used them. You could have used them like the Wii.
Yeah, because it was there for like a couple weeks, though.
Yeah, so if you have any tabs from, gosh, I should probably look this up before I'm saying this. So this is if you have a 2020 Sip and Savor pass. This was from the Food and Wine Festival, from the DCA Food and Wine Festival. So not the Festival of the Holidays Sip and Savor passes. But you can, if you have the tabs, they must still be intact and attached to the original 2020 Disney California Food and Wine Festival Sip and Savor Pass in order for them to be accepted. You can request to exchange the unused tabs for a Disney gift card, either online or by phone, or you can use them at 2021 Disney Festival of the Holidays offerings at some of the participating locations. So that's pretty cool. So if you can still use those unused tabs at the booths, or you can turn them into a gift card.
That's pretty cool.
I think that's incredibly generous.
Well, think about it. I mean, the event had just started last time.
Oh, yeah. No, I know for sure. But yeah, it's just, I think that's really cool. And it's, you know, I don't have a Sip and Savor pass, so perhaps it was easier for me to forget about all of these people that had unused passes. But, you know, how many people still hung on to those just in case? So hopefully, if you had one, you hung on to it because they are still worth something.
And that's how we'll be feeling when they finally come back with Star Wars nights or the Villains nights that we still have tickets for, but they haven't announced anything for. Also, if the Sip and Savor pass does end up being $54, keep in mind that you want to buy items that are at least $6.75 a piece, because that 54 divided by 8, because you get 8 food or beverage items, that is the break-even point. So I would buy a Sip and Savor pass and use it on like the most pricey things on all of the menus around the festival. Well, more things are starting to return to normal as time goes on at the resort. With the return of the holiday season, the Christmas Fantasy Parade dining package has returned. The package will cost $45 per adult and $25 per child, and will return to the Plaza Inn with several food options and a prime location for the parade. Magic Key discounts are available. Reservations can be made online. The link is in our show notes.
They haven't posted the full menu for this, but since we've been talking so much about food, I wanted to mention this. I don't know why this is exciting to me, but if I was doing this dining package, this is probably what I would choose. The menu is going to feature roasted New York strip loin, house-made macaroni and cheese, and autumn vegetables with chocolate bread pudding for dessert. Ooh. How, like warm and comforting and delicious does that sound? Again, this is not, you know, I haven't seen this parade. This isn't, like, something that's been high on my to-do list. Do I feel like I need to see Christmas Fantasy Parade at some point? Yes, just because it's been around forever, so I feel like I need to experience it. But it's not super overly exciting to me. But
I was like, don't worry about it. It'll probably be here for 10 more years. You got
but
time.
Again, it's not maybe specifically about that, but come on. Parade dining packages are coming back to the parks too. The only parade dining package that we had previously was for Oogie Boogie Bash. It was for a separate ticketed event. So it's very exciting to me that parade dining packages are coming back to just the regular park,
which means that the Fantasmic dining package will probably come back when Fantasmic finally returns, whenever that may be.
Yes. Very, very, very exciting.
I feel like this next story is up your alley as well.
A holiday cocktail will be available at Trader Sam's, which will be made with a spice liqueur, coffee liqueur, lime juice, pineapple juice, and coconut cream. The beverage comes in a nutcracker tiki mug that was last seen at the parks back in 2019.
Yeah, so I feel like coffee, right? You love coffee, yeah. And pineapple juice.
And Trader Sam's.
And there's a tiki mug. I feel like it's just a lot of things. It's kind of a cute little tiki mug.
It is a lot of things that I like, but I don't know if I like them all together. I don't know how I feel about coffee liqueur, a spiced liqueur, and pineapple juice. That seems like a unique combination to me. So if any weekly tier does have a chance to try this new holiday, the new holiday cocktail, that's what it's called, is the holiday cocktail. Let us know what you think, because I'm really curious about this flavor combination.
I'm sure, I don't know. There's so much to try. I'm just saying. Well, yeah. Disney has once again partnered with Toys for Tots to collect toys for children in need for the holiday season. Disney started with a donation of $500,000 to the organization and is offering guests to join in on the giving. From now through December 14th, toys can be donated through shopdisney.com or dropping off new unwrapped toys at downtown Disney locations.
I think this is so fun and such a great thing that they do. And plus, you know, how easy is it? Because you're already in the store. Mm-hmm. The bin's right there. You know,
they do it.
Exactly. They make it super, super easy. So I think this is such a fun thing that they do. Of course, Toys for Tots is, it's not just a Disney specific thing. It's all over the place. We actually have a Toys for Tots drop-off bin in my place of work, so mm-hmm. that people can drop stuff off there too. But I just think it's more fun, and it's great when you're in the holiday spirit. I know that you all feel this way, but you can really be in the holiday spirit when you're in downtown Disney and in the Disney store, in the Disney bubble kind of thing. So I think it's a wonderful match.
Well, I know we've reported on this before, I think, but do you remember that the Disney company are the one who designed the Toys for Tots logo?
Oh,
I think we talked about that last year or 2 years ago. Yeah. But yeah, the Walt Disney Company, the train that says Toys for Tots, Walt Disney Company helped design that way back in the day. I think when it started, I want to say back in the 50s or 60s, something like that. Hmm. Don't quote me. I don't remember exactly what year, but they did help with that.
Very cool. Well, last week, Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure, went completely to standby without the need to get a boarding group. Since this change went into effect, the wait times have been as low as 20 minutes to as long as 2 hours, with the average wait time around 40 minutes. Disney does have posted that they may require a boarding group on some days, but as of now, has gone completely standby.
Yes, I am not surprised about this. No, I'm happy that they got rid of it because I didn't think it was necessary. I think that, it's still a good attraction. It's a new attraction. So, low as 20 minutes can be times when other stuff is going on or mm-hmm. first thing in the morning, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. I did see 90 minutes to 2 hours on some extreme cases. I assume weekends when things are busy or whatever.
Oh, sure.
But I think it's been averaging around 40 to 50 minutes. Today I logged in while I was writing this, and I think the wait was 55 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, Disney kind of makes those times worse than they actually are in most cases. So probably around 40 minutes of actual wait time is probably good. But I'm curious to see when they do this with Rise of the Resistance and what the wait times will be for that.
I agree. I'm actually surprised that we have, maybe that'll be after the holiday season when Rise of the Resistance goes standby, kind of in that post New Year lull. It'll be interesting. And I'm curious to see what happens, because of course, Walt Disney World's Rise of the Resistance did go to standby only a little while ago. Mm-hmm. We haven't been keeping as close of an eye on that since it is Disney World, not Disneyland. Plus, it's just hard to compare the two because it's just a much different park experience and typical park guest there than
Hollywood
at Disneyland.
Studios has so much less to do in that park.
Yeah, so I feel like it's comparing apples to oranges. So I'm just really curious when it happens, how it's gonna go for Rise of the Resistance. But I agree, I am glad that Web Slingers has gone this route and that wait times have, kind of leveled out and are nice.
Right now, as of, it is 10 p.m. Florida time on Tuesday, November 9th, there is a 60-minute wait for Rise of the Resistance in Disney World. So, not bad. And they have the Genie service and stuff going on. So, mm-hmm. even with that, 60 minutes, not bad. Well, the newest Marvel film, The Eternals, has come to the Sunset Showcase Theater, as well as the characters making appearances in Avengers Campus. In the Sunset Showcase Theater, an extended preview of the movie, along with some of the costumes, are on display. Cersei, Kingo, and Fastos are visiting the Ancient Sanctum in the Avengers Campus, interacting with guests.
You know, First of all, I'm going to start with this. I have not seen The Eternals yet.
I have.
But the thing that is just so cool to me is how quickly these characters are coming into the parks now. This seems like a newer trend to
me. Yeah.
That, like, boom, like, the next week, there they are.
Like, Loki was there in all of his variations.
In all of the different variations of Loki. I think that's so, it's something, it's so cool. I think it's impactful. But it's also something that we think, oh, it's probably super, no, like, that's, it's not easy to just, boom, have a character in the park, especially when it's a face character, because you gotta, you know, find the correct person to be friends with these characters. And yeah, super, super cool. And especially when it's new characters like this that, you know, we don't really know much about them quite yet.
Sure.
You know, I think that's probably a little harder to do too. So kudos to the park. Kudos to the park. Kudos to the cast members. Kudos to the entertainment department for doing this.
So many kudos.
Yeah, all the kudos.
I want to say a couple things about this. First, this reminds me of the type of synergy Disney had in the early 90s when I went there as a kid. Of they bring the things parades, that are happening in and making a big deal out of it. Now, I did like it better in the early 90s when they would do things like the Lion King parade or like the Aladdin's Caravan parade. Like, they did things that were more like timely and bigger, you know, things like the parades. But I wish that they would bring these kind of things, like bigger things, together and into it. So I'm glad to see that they're at least starting kind of small, at least with the Disney stuff.
Yeah, baby steps, right?
Baby steps. The other thing I want to say is I did see The Eternals. A lot of reviews online have been mixed to negative. And I want to say that I thought it was a very good movie. It was long. It was almost 3 hours long.
Wow.
But I thought that some people complain that it drug it at times. Maybe it did. But they have, I think what they're doing is they're setting up, first of all, there's a lot of characters. And I feel like
new characters.
Yeah.
Too.
And they're setting up all these characters for things that are going to happen later in the next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I think there's some really cool stuff. There was a couple things in it that I'm not going to spoil that I thought was just kind of silly. But overall, I thought it was a really good movie. One of the things I really enjoyed about this, though, is there were, with the characters, they did a couple things to it that I thought were great. There's a character who signs. She doesn't speak and whatever. And so they're signing, and they don't like bring crazy attention to it. It's just like normal. It's like, this person
That's
signs,
awesome.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
The photo. What was Photos or whatever? I'm sorry, I forgot his name already. His character actually is in a same-sex relationship, and they have a small child. Mm-hmm. And they kind of touch on that a little bit, but they don't bring a ton of attention to it. It's just like, that's my husband. Like, here's our child. And like, they have a storyline that kind of goes along with that for a part of the movie. But
Very cool.
Just thought it was really great because they have representation of people who are not as often represented in especially bigger movies like this, but they didn't do it in such a way of like, look, this person can't talk. Look, this person's in the same sex relationship. It's just kind of like they happen to be there, which I really enjoyed. I also thought it was very funny, just like most Marvel movies. I think they did a good job adding in some comedy things. There is a character who is not one of the Eternals that hangs out with them for a good chunk of the movie. And Evan from the Disney company that we had on a few episodes ago was talking before I saw it on Instagram about how every scene that this character was in really, like, it made that scene better. And I totally agree.
Very cool.
He was very good.
Very cool. Wow.
Sorry
after
for all that.
After that review, now I'm even more excited.
I want to advocate for this movie because I feel like it's not getting a fair shot and I want people to go see it.
Since the Void VR experience left Downtown Disney, there hasn't been an experience like it. Until now. ILMX Lab and MetaQuest are previewing a new VR experience next to the Star Wars Trading Post in Downtown Disney. From November 12th through January 5th, guests can take part in a special preview of Quest to Star Wars, Tales from the Galaxy's Edge video game, plus the new expansion. The experience is free and offered daily from noon to 8 p.m. Reservations can be made on-site with a MetaQuest staff member. Free? I'm shocked. That's mm-hmm. super cool.
Yeah. So just to be clear, this isn't quite as all-encompassing as the Void VR experience. You're not going into a room and being able to move around and do all that stuff. This is using like consumer level Quest 2 gear doing this thing. It's kind of a like a promotion for this expansion that's coming out for the Galaxy's Edge video game, which we had talked about, I think, oh God, like a year, year and a half ago at this point. We talked about this video game coming because it ties in with Galaxy's Edge a little bit. I was a little confused because I was like, who's Meta Quest? And I realized, oh yes, it used to be Facebook Quest, but because they changed their name to Meta, it's Meta Quest now. Because Facebook's parent company is now Meta.
Yeah, I didn't even know Facebook Quest was a thing. So
yeah.
That's how far behind I am.
Quest, the Quest gaming system was something that Facebook, I think, either purchased or developed. Oh, and it was under them, but like Meta is now like the main corporate thing. Just like Alphabet is the head of Google.
Sure.
Kind of a thing. So anyway, but I hope it's going to be really cool, and I hope that we have some people that go and experience it during this holiday season, because it's running about the same amount of time as the holiday season. So let us know if you go and experience this, or if you have a Quest and have played this Tales from Galaxy's Edge video game at home. Let us know what you think about it.
I think, I think this is so cool. Yes, I understand that it's a promotion, so of course, you know, they want people to do it, but I still think it's very cool that this is a free experience that they're offering daily for guests to enjoy. And you know, just because this would be something, I would not be a person that would purchase these items to be able to play this game at home like this, but I think it'd be fun to like try it out and see what it was like. So this would be great for me, also great for gamers and Star Wars fans alike. So I just I think it's so cool. I like when they bring stuff like this that, you know, is something that you can do that doesn't cost extra. Because a lot of the times, right, we go to the parks, we go to Downtown Disney, and there's everything we want to do. It's ching, ching, ching. It's, you know, charge. So it's nice when we see things like this that are free.
You better be careful, though. You might do this, or Vern might do this. I mean, you guys aren't going to be there for this time, but if you were, it might be something that you're like, that was really cool, we should buy this. And then there's your cha-ching. Well, November 12th, this was plastered everywhere. So if you are just now hearing about this on the podcast, I am surprised. November 12th is a big day for Disney Plus subscribers visiting Disney parks and shopping on Shop Disney. Ticket holders who are also Disney Plus subscribers will have the blue carpet rolled out for them on this Disney Plus day. All U.S. parks will allow guests to enter 30 minutes early with a real blue carpet and special photo opportunities with complimentary photo pass. On Shop Disney, Disney Plus subscribers will have free shipping on November 12th through the 14th, with new customizable items also available. For those of you who are not subscribed to Disney Plus, there is a special offer for $1.99 for the first month. For all the details, visit the link in our show notes. First of all, I know we're talking about the parks here, but I'm very excited for this Disney Plus day, because there is a ton of things coming out on this Disney Plus day that I'm very excited about.
A ton. I'm excited about all that. The only thing I wish with the whole parks reservation system in place, I wish they would have almost announced this sooner, because a lot of people, you know, it just kind of, how do I want to say this? If you had reservations already for that day, great, you get to take part in this stuff, but if you don't have reservations and they're all out, then unfortunately you do have to miss out. So I'm a little sad that they didn't give us a little bit more warning or heads up as to kind of, I feel like there was a teaser a while back that maybe something was going to happen in the parks, but nothing specific. So I kind of wish that we would have had a little bit more heads up so that more people that are interested in this would have been able to get those reservations. But if you're like us and you won't be at the parks and you're going to have to be enjoying through others and enjoying through social media and what other people are sharing, the other thing you can do too is there's a bunch of stuff that you can celebrate from home. So you can actually step up your selfie game on the My Disney Experience app with a special appearance with none other than Grogu. The other thing that I was really excited about that didn't really make sense to me at first why they were connected, but in celebration of Disney Plus Day, Disney Publishing Worldwide will offer select 99-cent ebooks.
Oh, good.
From November 8th to 17th. So definitely need to try that
right
out.
Now.
Yeah, right now even. So there were stories, some of the ones that they were teasing were stories behind their favorite Disney Plus series, including Loki, High School Musical, the musical, the series, and The Mandalorian. So very cool.
So kind of off topic, but still kind of on topic. So Disney Plus Day, This is all the stuff that's premiering that everybody knows about right now. I just want to go through it because it's very exciting. So Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is coming. It won't be part of the Premier Access. Mm-hmm. Jungle Cruise is also leaving Premier Access that day. Home Sweet Home Alone is like a remake of the Home Alone franchise. It's the sixth film, but it feels very much like the first film again from the preview I saw. Olaf Presents, which I am way more excited about this than I should be. Olaf is going to use his unique storytelling talents to retell classics like Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Lion King, and more.
This Olaf Presents and this next one, Ciao Alberto. I don't know why.
I'm very excited about that,
but
too.
But I'm excited about both, like ridiculously excited
Me
about
too.
Both of these.
Me too. The Simpsons and Plusiversary, which looks like they're going to cross over with some people from the Disney thing. There's a promo picture of Homer Simpson sitting with Goofy, so that'll be interesting. Season 2 of The World According to Jeff Goldblum. Under the Helmet, The Legacy of Boba Fett.
That's exciting.
A season of a show I've never heard of before. some other stuff I don't care about. Marvel Studios Legends Hawkeye, because that's going to be coming out soon. Spin, Fancy Nancy Season 3, Tangled Ever After, which was a short that was actually kind of cute, and Frozen Fever, which I think is also another short. Mm-hmm. The movie Enchanted from a few years ago finally lands on the series, and a bunch of Disney shorts.
Tons and tons of fun.
So
tons
a lot of stuff. I'm very excited for now to the end of the year because, like, I saw the trailer for the Boba Fett, the Book of Boba Fett. That looks like it's going to be the quality and everything of The Mandalorian, but about Boba Fett, and I'm very excited about that.
Super. So I need to tell Vern about that. He's going to be.
He should watch the trailer. It looks amazing. It looks amazing.
Can we link the trailer for that in the show notes so that Weekly Tears can watch it as well?
I'm sure. Yes, let me put that in because I will forget by tomorrow.
Star Wars fans who wanted to get their hands on a Porg or Battle of Endor tiki mug from Oga's Cantina now have another way to get one. The mugs can actually be purchased on shopdisney.com for $29.99.
You know, I feel like they really miss an opportunity of not putting more parks merchandise on Shop Disney. Like, I get it because they want people to come to the parks. Mm-hmm. But for those of us that are in the Midwest that don't get to go that often, it'd be really cool if some of this merchandise like this was on Shop Disney.
It's, it's a catch-22 for me because I see both sides. And I see both sides, like, almost evenly as far as, why put it out there, why not to put it out there. For example, and I think Disney's finding definitely a better balance because it felt like there used to be a lot of park specific merch that you 100% could only get in the parks. However, it feels like to me they're bringing a lot more on Shop Disney. For example, Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary. There's actually there's a whole mountain of 50th anniversary merch for Walt Disney World, but there's actually quite a big selection of that merchandise on Shop Disney. I always felt stuff like that previously, you kind of had to be in the park to get that stuff.
Sure.
And like it was more special because you could only get it in the park. Same thing with holiday merchandise right now, for example. There's a couple of different sets of ears. There's a couple different types of spirit jerseys, et cetera, et cetera. Well, some of it, yes, you can get on Shop Disney, but not all of it. So you're still, I think you kind of have to find a balance, right?
Yeah.
Let some of it out there, but then also keep some of it special so then you find that happy medium.
Something else, since we're talking about shopping, that I feel like we should mention. There was an article that was talking about Disney World specifically, that they are going to start attempting, supposedly, to mitigate the resellers situation. So we'll see how that turns out, but I know that we've talked about it on the show before about how much how frustrated people get with the resellers and not being able to get stuff and all that. So I just wanted to mention that there was some talk that they would start somehow monitoring this or something. But I don't know how they're going to do it, but we'll see.
It's funny that you bring that up because the other thing that I was going to say with, one of the pluses of them bringing more stuff on Shop Disney and available through Shop Disney for people like us who can't get to the parks all the time is if the more stuff they bring onto Shop Disney, the less you're going to, quote unquote, need a reseller to be able to get the merch and the items that you want. So that kind of helps even the playing field out, I guess, would be a way of saying that a little bit more when it comes to resellers.
Yeah, I agree. But then you get the same problem like we had during the beginning of the pandemic, where Mickey, Minnie, the main attraction stuff, and you know all this crap.
Psst, Avast there. It'd be too late to alter course, mateys. And there be trivia questions lurking in every cove, waiting to be answered. Listen close and keep your ready Disney knowledge handy. That be the best way to answer correctly. And mark well me words, mateys. Dead men tell no tales. Here come seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
I hear you guys are excited to have me back, since I have a tendency of being a little nicer than producer Vern.
Maybe.
I don't know if I'd say that. I feel like you're equally mean.
Wow.
Okay, well, maybe that's true, but, you know, it's the holiday season, and I'm trying to get onto the nice list. Anyway, our first question for this week's episode. In the queue for Goofy's Sky School, there is an official permit to operate a business. What is this permit actually for? And I'll give you a hint. It's not for the Sky School.
It's a permit.
It's I feel like it has something to do with chickens, since there's chickens all over in
there.
There is
chickens all over the place. Maybe it's a permit to not breed, but farm chickens.
I don't know.
That's my guess.
Farming chickens. All right. What do you think, Teresa?
So, okay, what was the question again? It's not to do with the flight school, right?
That's right. In the queue for Goofy's Sky School, there is an official permit to operate a business. It's like a plaque. It says whatever it is, and Goofy's crossed it out and written Sky School on it. So what is the permit actually for?
I think it has something to do with the chickens, but I don't know what. I feel like chicken farm sounds weird. Cause...
I did tell James about Vern counting you down, so if that starts happening.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to have to say about 10 seconds.
I think I'm going to say, like, I don't even know. I'll say like a hen house.
Hen house it is. Great answer, Teresa. We'll see if it works out. Our second question is from me. How many pounds of frosting, fondant, and icing was used to help make the gingerbread creation in the Haunted Mansion?
You should know this, Teresa. We've talked about it enough.
Okay. How many pounds of what all things again?
The fondant, frosting, and icing.
You got it, Tag.
All three combined. I'm going to say 2,000 pounds.
I'm going to say 900 pounds.
Ooh, those are quite the hefty guesses. We'll see if that is the right amount of sweets. But let's go to our third question from listener Elise K. To get to the monorail, guests used to board a certain kind of platform. What was it called, and how did it work?
Oh, it was the moving sidewalk-like thing, and it was... The speed ramp is what they called it, and it was basically like almost like an escalator, but without the stairs. It was just kind of it was what you get to like get out of Haunted Mansion it still.
There you go.
They used to have one that would go up to Space Mountain. They had one that would go up to the monorail. They had one, I think, at one time. They used the elevator for the people mover. I think they had one too, but for the rocket jets, you'd take an elevator up. But it was called the speed ramp.
Perfect. I was just going to call it a moving sidewalk.
Yeah, but it was their fancy term for it.
Yeah, it's the Disney term for it.
Got to go with it, right? Teresa, you agree with Tag?
Mm-hmm.
Then let's go ahead and move on to our last question, and it's time to find me in the park. Oh. I'm having a day of meeting characters. After seeing some classic royalty, I head southwest on a narrow path.
Southwest.
Hold on. Southwest, okay?
Wait a minute. When I'm looking at the castle, am I looking north?
No. If you're at the castle and you're looking down Main Street, you're looking south. Okay. So southwest would be towards Frontierland, Adventureland. Okay.
Yeah, maybe I should have said southwestward ho on the path.
Oh, there you go.
So I take a right onto the main path from there and pretty quickly come up on my next character meet and greet just off to the side of the main path. Who am I seeing and what's the location called, at least according to the Disneyland app?
I'm guessing that it's some type of band because it's probably at the
Rancho,
the Rancho stage Garden. That's there.
Yeah, the Rancho del Zocalo Garden Park
stage
thing.
But there's a Zocalo Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And it's the, I don't know, was it like a mariachi band? No, there was a.
Right now there's like a, well, for like Halloween, there was like the Dia de los Muertos stuff up.
Yeah.
And they had like a mariachi band over
there. What time of year are you talking about, James?
This is pretty recent. I'd say like within the last month.
Recently? Okay, yeah. So that's what I would say.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So Zocalo Park.
And the mariachi band.
Mm-hmm.
You said character, though, so that makes me think that there might have been a character there.
Yeah, but I think I got to lock you in on this one.
Okay.
But you listeners at home still have time to figure out your answers. Let me know if you agree with Tegan Therese on this or if you have the right answer. We'll find out all those answers after this week's discussion topic.
For this week's discussion topic, we are continuing our conversation with Kate and Jude talking about their Halloween Disney cruise. So enjoy. When you guys went to your one stop, did you guys actually pull into a port or did you do the tendering? Like, you didn't, but did people do the tendering thing?
So if we had gone to Cabo, that they do the tendering there. But in Ensenada, you actually pull into a port. And it was cool because there was sea lions. So that was fun to see all the sea lions.
Oh, fun. Yeah, very
now,
cool.
Do you know what tendering is?
I'm assuming it's where the boat is kind of like off in the ocean still and they take little boats.
You get in a escape boat.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And so they load you in and then it's slow
a
and
dinghy.
It's very bumpy and you get taken over. Because James and I, the first cruise we went on, we didn't have to do that at all. But the New England cruise we went on, we had to do like two or three different ports because it's not deep enough for the boat to pull in. So... And it was kind of choppy. So we're in this thing and it's moving around. And when you're trying to get off of the boat onto it, like they're really helping you because like things are moving.
Yeah.
And then it's like going through airport security when you get back on because like they want you to check all your booze and
make sure
you get it back later
check,
and all
see
that
what
crap.
You're getting,
and,
yeah. So, Kate, was there anything else that you wanted to share of your experience? Otherwise, I think we can have Jude on to get her little take on the cruise.
I will share one of the surprising things that I really enjoyed. So they do activities like trivia, which
Gosh, we forgot about all the activities.
So many activities. And we did a ton of trivia. My favorite was they did it was like a musical trivia where they would play a snippet of a song and you had to know the name of the song, the movie it came from, and then they would ask a trivia question.
Oh, wow.
I have to tell you guys, it was really hard, but there was once when it was like the answer was the Sherman Brothers, and I'm 100% sure that I learned it on the podcast.
Oh, well, that's nice.
It was like, Sherman Brothers, I know this one. It was really, really fun. And, it was like a whole family activity, but the surprise for me was the game shows that they do.
Oh.
We watched a few of them and they were just really a lot of fun to watch, but we also participated in one and we were contestants and it was called, Generation Quest was the one that we participated in. So it was kids versus adults.
Oh boy.
And first they asked a trivia question and mine was about Ariana Grande. So I got that correct. And I was very proud of myself because the whole idea was, the uncool parents wouldn't know about Ariana Grande, but I got that one right. And then the second round was you had to sing.
Oh no.
So the kids, they made them sing. You had to sing Happy Birthday opera style. So I was sweating because I was like, oh man, I do not sing well. So I get up there on stage and he tells me that I have to rap Happy Birthday. I am really very nervous about this. And I don't know where, somewhere deep within me, I don't know where it came from, but I did it. I busted it out and I felt pretty good about it. I think I did pretty good.
Was Jude mortified?
No, she wasn't at all. People were clapping. And then the third round, I had to dance in front of all of these people.
Oh, gosh.
So it was awkward, but also just, it was so fun to just, you know, participate and feel like I was with my people on board, because it was a Disney cruise and these are, you know, anybody can go to the parks, but I think you have, it's like a step up, level up to go on a Disney cruise. So I felt like these were my people and they were not going to judge me. So it was really, it was fun to like let loose and really, you know, show my embarrassing side. But the rest of the cruise, people were coming up to us and were like, you guys did so good on that game show.
Oh, that's so fun.
That's one thing about the cruise that I always thought was cool was, unlike normal interactions with people, like at Disneyland or whatever, everybody's kind of stuck on the same ship for the same amount of time as you. So you will see people frequently, especially with like COVID times where there's not as many people, but you will bump into people. A lot of the times we ended up sitting next to like a lot of the same people at dinner and stuff each night and everything. And you kind of get to know them, and you are way more likely to just start a conversation with a total stranger because all of you have this shared experience. So you could be like, oh, what was your towel animal in your room today or something? Because everybody has something that they can talk about, and it's not the weather, right? Which is what everybody kind of goes to. But it's cool because you could be like, oh, I saw you this morning at the buffet. What did you think about that? Or we saw you rap happy birthday. And sometimes James and I would do that. We'd be like, oh, we saw you at that game show. You did a really good job or whatever. And then you just kind of start talking. Yeah. And it's kind of cool. Now, with the game shows and the trivia, did they give you prizes? Because when we went on the Carnival cruise, you could get these, like, they're almost like Olympic medallions. And the whole trick was, if you got three of them, you could turn them in and get what they called a ship on a stick, which was like a trophy of like the ship you were on, but like gold, it was plastic, whatever. And we got ours on the last day, and the guy let us keep all three of the gold medallions. Usually you turn that in and you get the stick. We got the stick and the three medallions. So, were so excited. Because no, they were like metal. Oh. The medallions were.
So,
but I think the point is they try to get you to.
Yeah, of course. They're always trying to get you to do something. On board on the Disney cruises, you get a Mickey medallion.
Ooh.
So Jude got the Mickey medallion because in the kids versus adults, I mean, I feel like I won because I, you know, had such a good time. But the kids won. It was an audience clapping situation. I think it was
rigged. Of course the kids are
rigged. It was rigged.
I think it was rigged.
But so Jude got her Mickey medallion, and you can only get them on board the Disney Cruise Line, I hear. But it's not metal. It's like a rubber kind of. But it's cool. It's actually really cool.
That's cool.
So I didn't hear anything about turning it in for bigger prizes, though.
Yeah, this was like this whole thing, because the whole point. So James and I found this out, and I wasn't a big participator person because I don't like to make a fool of myself on stage. So James went and did all these things. He did a game show like you were talking about where they had to, like, just do silly things. Like, he had to hold something in between his knees and, like, walk it across the stage and, like, drop it in, like, this bowl. And he was racing somebody else doing the same thing. And he won that, so we got one of the medallions. We did a trivia thing that he got one of the medallions, and I don't remember what the other thing was. But yeah, they were like, yeah, if you get three. And I think that's to encourage people to, like, participate.
Oh, sure, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's, James loves trivia and I love trivia, and a lot of the extra like activities on a cruise is easy stuff like that, trivia, game shows, so that's cool that Disney does that too, and it makes it all Disneyfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the game shows were a lot of fun, and you know, yeah, they did a pirate themed one that was hilarious, that on Pirate Day, because everything was pirate themed on Pirate Day, so. Mm-hmm. Even the characters were all dressed as pirates. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
What about the food? Was the food pirate themed for Pirate Day?
They do a special menu that's like kind of, I would say, Caribbean themed kind of.
Oh, and, fun. Yeah.
And, you know, more seafood and things the pirate would eat. But we had animator's palette that night, and there's big screens in there, and they showed sketches and clips from the different Disney pirate movies and pirate characters. So that was really fun.
I'm trying to think, what does a pirate eat?
I don't know. Like
oranges, because they got a
hard bread.
Like, I mean, besides like rum.
Bacon? Rum. I feel like they would take bacon on board because it was like preserved and.
Mm-hmm. Sure, there you go. Salty. Yep.
Yeah.
Oranges. Citrus was a big deal because of scurvy.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Let's bring Jude over.
Well, welcome, Jude. We now have Jude, Kate's daughter, joining us. We're going to hear the kids' version of what she thought of the cruise and how much fun I'm sure she had. So welcome, Jude. We're very excited to have you.
Hi.
So, Jude, what's your favorite attraction?
It's a small world.
Why is it your favorite attraction?
I don't know, because it's annoying.
I like that. Usually people say it's their least favorite attraction because they're annoyed. Vern. But Jude's just embracing that. She's like, nope, that's what makes it great. That's awesome. Do you have a favorite part of Small World? Is there like a favorite character or a favorite room?
The Stitch part.
The Stitch part? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because Jude likes Stitch a lot, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, Jude, when your mom told you that you guys were going to be going on this cruise, what did you think? Were you excited? Were you nervous? Were you confused and didn't know what a cruise was, maybe? I don't know.
I was excited.
Were you nervous about getting on a cruise ship with the being out in the ocean and everything?
Kind of.
Yeah, I would be too, definitely.
But was it, how did you feel once you got on there? Was it okay or were you still pretty nervous?
I felt okay until the boat started moving.
Mm. Can you feel that the boat's moving when you're on the cruise?
Yeah.
Did you get used to it though? I hope.
Yeah, I fell over a couple times though.
Wow.
I hope you didn't get hurt.
I didn't.
No, that's good. That's great. So what did you think of all the fun Halloween things that were on the cruise? There was all sorts of cool decorations. There was a Halloween dance Halloween party, it sounded like.
I loved it.
So what was it like doing the Halloween party?
It was really fun. We got to see there was like different dances, like every like character, not every character, but like every character for the crew or whatever came on and did like a dance number.
Oh, fun.
Different song every time.
Did you have a favorite or one character that maybe like you thought did the best?
No.
Was Stitch part of this, too, or no?
No, sadly.
Oh, darn.
No, sadly. That's why there wasn't a favorite. That sounds so cool. Well, speaking of characters, can you tell us all the different characters that you either saw or got to meet on the cruise?
Mm-hmm. My favorite one I saw was Pirate Stitch.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even know that Stitch had a pirate costume.
Well, he does.
Very cool.
What other characters did you get to see?
I saw Mickey, I saw Minnie, I saw Pluto a couple times, I saw Goofy, a Chip and Dale, saw all of those.
Tell us about the little characters that your people left in the room that were made out of the towels.
Well, there was an elephant, and there was Davy Jones for Pirate Night.
Wow.
There was lots of chocolates, which were my favorite thing.
Chocolates are your favorite. Davy Jones, that's pretty...
That would have been
cool. There was a bat one night, the Halloween night.
Wow.
Did they put any of these... So one of the cruises I went on, it was like they made one that was a monkey, and they like hung it from one of the little... Yeah,
that's how they did the bat.
That's cool.
Dang. Did you guys take pictures of these?
Mm-hmm. I took a picture of it every night.
Yeah.
You need to share
these,
Kate, I think.
That's amazing. I mean, how creative. I've like seen elephants. I've seen the monkey. Mm-hmm. But
well, of course, it's going to be Disney
Jones?
Characters. Davy Jones would be
That's
cool.
That's amazing. That's so cool. So we had Davy Jones, a bat. What were the other two?
Gosh, what can I remember? And look at my pictures and tell you.
Was that the night that you had the martini tasting?
Yeah, that was the martini night. So did I miss one? Davy Jones, the bat.
It would have been the first night that I'm forgetting.
My cat? If I say excuse me, Winnie, it's because my cat's attacking me right now. Mm.
You named your cat Winnie, like Winifred Sanderson?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where have you been?
I forgot. I don't remember all these things.
Okay, I'm almost there.
Look, there she is, a little fuzz ball.
Excuse me.
Oh, it was a dog.
Don't hit me. Don't hit me.
Can you point Davy Jones at the camera? I want to see this Davy Jones.
Can you point Davy Jones?
I'm just trying to imagine this in my mind.
Was it one towel that they did Davy Jones with?
No, they used
the blanket that was on the bed.
My cat has wanted to hit me in the face.
No good.
That's what kittens will do.
Bad kitty.
Oh my gosh.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and
that's
then the eyes were chocolate coins. That's and they cool. were cool because they were like kind of Disney chocolate coins, and they said dead men tell no tales on them. And super fun. But I did.
I was gonna say, how did they expect you to eat those things?
Yeah, right.
When they look,
I bet
cool.
I could have gotten extra.
So Jude, we heard that you liked the food. Tell us about the food.
Oh gosh, yes. I think the second night was my favorite. Actually, no. The last night was my favorite.
So what were some of the different things you ate? We heard you tried escargot. You learned you could get as much mac and cheese as you wanted, but I'm sure you survived on more than just mac and cheese.
And I had shrimp. Ooh. And I had lots of Mickey bars and beignets. And ice cream. Don't forget the ice cream on the side.
Well, what about like breakfast foods? Or were you having Mickey bars for breakfast?
Wait, Mickey waffles for breakfast?
There you go.
So do they have, are the beignets and the Mickey bar, are the Mickey bars like the Mickey premium bars in the parks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are those free?
Yeah. You can get them in the dining rooms, but also room service. You can call out.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think they're on the menu, but if you can tell them you want Mickey bars and they'll bring them. And you can also get warm cookies and milk.
Oh, I got mac and cheese one night.
Yeah.
How was the mac and cheese?
It was great. There was like crouton shavings on the top.
Ooh,
that sounds good.
It was
good.
Fancy mac and cheese.
Oh, and there was Mickey shaped ketchups. I asked it for it everywhere because I could. And then I bit into my mac and cheese.
So, like the packets were Mickey shaped, or they made ketchup.
It looked like Mickey.
Oh, how fun.
See, Mickey's such an easy shape to make like anything mm-hmm. into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us about, it sounded like you guys got to dress up when you were there too. What were some of the things that you were excited to wear and show off for costumes?
Well, we dressed up as Jack and Sally. And then my favorite one was, we got like this like pirate hats from Target. And I had this like dress I was supposed to be Mary from the Sanderson sisters. But I used it as a pirate dress. It looks very piratey and raggedy.
Is that what you happened to meet Pirate Stitch in?
Yes.
So it must have been Pirate Day that you did this on. Very fun. So what were some of the other cool and fun like activities or games or, I don't know, pools? What kind of things did you do when you were on the cruise ship?
We did lots of trivia.
Yeah?
Lots and lots.
Are you a trivia master?
I mean... Yes.
Awesome. I heard that you had to sing like an opera singer.
No, that was somebody else.
But Jude had to do a routine to
Into the unknown. And I just
You had to do a dance the whole routine into the unknown. That's fun.
So what was your
other dance I had to do was much better.
What was your opinion of your mom's happy birthday rap?
It was very good. I was surprised she did so good.
That's really nice, right?
I'm telling you, it was some place I didn't know.
Sounds to me like you need to step out of your comfort zone more often.
There was beatboxing, so.
Oh.
Yeah. The host was dropping a beat for me there. So
the two of you together really made it
how
happen.
How fun.
So you guys saw some of the, what are the shows you guys saw?
We saw the Frozen play, and then we saw the Disney Dreams one, which was my favorite.
Ooh, tell us about that.
Yeah.
The Disney Dreams was like basically, there was a bunch of like different like characters that came out.
It's about a girl who
thinks she's too old to believe in fairy tales, but then Peter Pan comes flying through her window, which I think is very creepy. And then...
a little stranger danger, yep. Mm-hmm.
and then they do a whole dance number with Cinderella and then Sleeping Beauty and Aladdin. All those characters and Aladdin.
Wow.
And it was songs from the movie.
Yes, and then that's there was cool. The Lion King. There was the Lion King.
That was the best part.
Super fun.
So I have to ask, and I don't care who answers this, but I got to know. Tell me about the fireworks.
Oh, yes.
We didn't see them because it was too late, but we heard them definitely.
The fireworks were at like 10:30 at night.
Oh.
And we were too tired.
But we heard them. Apparently, and I need to know this for next time, if you're on the right side of the ship and you have a window... you can see the fireworks from your room.
So there's a
tip for you for the future. And maybe when we're ready to have a window in our room, I will do that. But yeah, I don't know if they normally do them that late, but it was a little bit on the late side for us. Just, you know, our days were just packed full. So, but we did hear them.
So Jude, would you go on another Disney cruise?
Definitely, but for Christmas time.
Oh, that'd be a nice one.
For my birthday.
There you go. That sounds like a great birthday
present. I
heard
New Year's is also very good on
I believe it.
You should tell them about the kids' clubs.
Oh, the kids'
clubs. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There was like different like shows, and my favorite one was Stitch's Space Goo. Like they made like, we made like slime, but it was supposed to be like Stitch Space Goo.
Wow.
And Stitch came out, and then there was Pluto's Pajama Party, which was, I like that too. But I didn't like it as much as Stitch because I love Stitch. And then, like, there was, like, story time. There was, like, in the Oceaneers Club, there was story time. We read Cinderella, and guess who came out? Cinderella, of course. And, yeah. And then,
how fun.
There were so many crafts, too.
What kind of crafts did you make?
Well, there was...
the goo.
Captain America... thing, which we got bookmarks that were Cinderella's slippers. Oh, the pillowcase that we were coloring a pillowcase, but I left before I got to color it.
I thought the quality of the crafts on board was really, they had family crafts you could do. So we did a couple. Well, we unsuccessfully did
mini pirate mini to be exact, because it was pirate.
That was a low point for me. I am not a crafter, but we did it. But all the stuff that Judah bring home from the kids club, there was like a full regular pillowcase it has Pluto on it and it says Disney Cruises.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
And they gave us a little backpack to put all our stuff in.
That's cool. So was there a lot of other kids hanging out with you, Jude?
Yes. I made a friend.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's awesome.
They kept the kids in groups of 15. So it was.
The lines were very spaced out.
Mm-hmm. And you had to make, usually on a Disney cruise, you can drop them off just whenever. But for this cruise, we had to make reservations.
Oh, sure.
So when I went to the adult only dining, Jude got to go to the kids club. When I had my massage, Jude went to the kids club. But she loved it. She was happy to go. They show movies in there.
Was there, I've seen from videos of Disney cruise stuff, and I don't know if it was on your ship or not, but there was like one of the kids' play areas was like Andy's bedroom or something, yeah. and stuff like that.
Yeah, they had, it's like
it was like a play set.
Yeah.
And there was a Slinky Dog slide.
Hmm? Oh, so was that, is there just the one kids' club or are there multiple kids' clubs that you go to?
So for kids Jude's age, there was... there's the Oceaneers Club and the Oceaneers Lab, I think.
Yeah.
That's what they were called. And they are attached by a hallway so the kids can walk between the two. And then they have a nursery for kids under three, which was not running right now, which was kind of a bummer for our friends that had a 2-year-old.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But that one does cost extra money. And then they have a club for like tween age kids, and then one for kids that like older teens and like young 20s, young adult kids. So they don't have to, you know, they don't want to do crafts and story time.
Right.
They have a pool table and stuff in there. And it's cool. One of the fun things they do is they do open houses for the kids club. So there's times when anybody can go.
There's one on like opening day, like not opening day, like the first day, but there's like ones in the morning, at 9.
And there's like in the Oceaneers club, there's a like a Marvel themed area. There's a Frozen, Oaken. It's like Oaken's.
Oh,
yeah. Fun. It's super cute. So everything's, you know, themed as well as the theme parks are.
Incredible.
All right. So I know we're usually positive on this podcast, but I'm going to ask a question with two parts. I'll ask you first, Kate, and we'll ask the same question with Jude. What was your favorite thing and what was your least favorite thing about the cruise?
Okay. My favorite thing, honestly, and I know that I say this all the time about the theme parks as well, it was the crew members. Like they made the experience. Our server went out of his way he really made. So parents out there will understand this kind of magic. So one night we made an offhand comment to him like, oh, haha, can't you put the kids at their own table? And the next day when we came to dinner, the kids had their own table.
Literally.
Oh,
that is so cool.
Wow.
There was nothing that we asked for that they wouldn't find a way to deliver for us. And all the entertainment staff, they were just incredible. I mean, I can't say enough good things about. I had to go to the guest services on board a couple of times. So helpful, so great. Everybody was they really are the magic makers in the parks and on the ships. So I don't know what Disney does, but they find these just incredible people just all over the world, apparently. So that was my favorite part for sure. Least favorite, it's hard to know. I feel like this is like COVID restriction related, but there were definitely chunks of time during the day when I felt like there wasn't enough activities or things to do.
Sure.
So we kind of found ourselves, it was a little cold when we were on our cruise. So I didn't really necessarily want to go hang out. It's really cool. They show movies, they call it tunnel vision. And they show movies all the time by the pool, which we did enjoy doing. We sat and watched Frozen 2.
For the 15th time that day.
It was we watched it a lot, but I love Frozen 2, so I'll watch it all the time. And
Frozen 2 was good.
Yeah, we watched Coco on Tunnel Vision 2. So that was really awesome. But there were times it was just too cold. We didn't want to go up there. So, you wanted to have an activity or something to do.
Sure.
So I felt like there was, maybe not enough activities, but I feel like that was a COVID thing. And because there was less people on board, they weren't doing as many activities.
And if it would have been warmer and you could have enjoyed like the pool and stuff, it probably would have been better too. Cause the couple cruises that I've been on, we also went during like cold times. And I think we spent, I think we spent a grand total between two cruises, maybe an hour in the hot tub, like between two cruises, like an hour in the hot tub or something between both.
I didn't get in the pool at all, but Jude said like even just a regular pool was like a bathtub.
Yeah, it was really hot.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And then, they have the hot tub. They would only let one family in at a time in the hot tub, sure. Which was nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm sure if we had done that, it would have been fine. And if Jude could have had more, if I could have just dropped her off at the kids club, that would have been something else that she could have just easily gone and done. But, because you can't do the drop off right now.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So Jude, what was your favorite and least favorite thing?
My favorite thing would have to be, I'm going to say my room, just because.
Your room was the most favorite part of the whole cruise. Yeah. Not Pirate Stitch.
Actually, that's my second favorite.
And what was your least favorite thing?
When I had to take medicine.
So I got to know, Jude, what was it about the room that made that the best part of the trip for you?
My mom had ordered water to come to be in our room, and that was very special to me because I love water.
What the hell?
You were surrounded by water, though, on the boat. You had plenty of water.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
It wasn't the fact that you got like breakfast right to you because your mom was ordering room service. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Jude really liked watching the movies and because they have like a.
There were zombies. My favorite movie of all time.
Oh.
Yeah. They had like Disney movies on demand. So she.
Did they have like fireworks shows from the parks and stuff on demand too?
I don't think so. I didn't. Mm. Not that I saw. They did have. Videos about the cruise. You know what else you loved on board was the shops.
Yes.
What was so great about the shop?
Tell us about the shopping. Yes.
Well, there was a lot of Stitch merchandise, which made it very special for me. I bought Pirate Stitch.
Oh.
And I bought a lot of other souvenirs.
Yeah, the shops on board were fun. I got some Disney Cruise Line pins and my mug, which is dirty right now. But it's
an Ursula mug that says Sea Witch, more like Sea Goddess.
That's good. She'll
hear it, so.
Yeah, it's true. Jude picked it out for me. But then it says Disney Cruise Line on the inside, so.
Nice. Yeah. Tell us about the special deal that they offer you when you're on the boat.
So if you book a placeholder online, which I think most cruise lines do a placeholder, but you can book it on the app, like everything on the app, and it's a $250 deposit. And if you travel within 24 months, you get 10% off on your next cruise.
Nice. So
it's a pretty good deal.
And I'm assuming that $250 goes towards the cost.
Right. Right. That's the deposit. And I guess there are some blackout dates, but it was actually interesting. They I ended up having to go to guest services to book that because I didn't want it on the card that I had on file. And they asked me for the information of who my travel agent was. And yeah, they sent all the information right to James. So he got all that information already. So when I'm ready to book, I can just call him up and he has
it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very cool.
Now, I totally forgot to ask, and this is going to be totally like out of nowhere. All the cruise ships I've been on have like a casino. Does Disney have a casino on board?
No, they do not have a casino, which is,
that's great.
I'm not a gambler, so I didn't miss it at all. They do have, the different bars and clubs at night become adult only, I think after 8 o'clock. So they do like a dance club and more of a bar atmosphere for adults. And there is a whole on the upper decks, there is a whole area that's only for adults. A pool and a bar and a whole sitting area. I went and sat there a couple times. It was very quiet.
Part of the entertainment too, did they have stuff like comedians and stuff that were on the things that you could go see if you wanted to?
I don't know if they had comedians. What they had, which is really cool, and I wish we'd gotten to see it, was they had people doing like playing piano and doing they had like the music of the Sherman Brothers or I forget what the other musical kind of themes were. But I love that kind of stuff. So, but we somehow didn't get to do any of that.
See, I feel like Vern would love a cruise because he would totally go sit in on the stuff or hang out in a bar, on board and just kind of, because a lot of times like the bars and stuff, you could just like look out on the water and just relax.
All this is making me do is think like, okay, yep, Disney cruise. We're going to make it happen. DL Weekly cruise.
And honestly, I think more than the theme parks, if you have like a multi-generational family and not everybody's super into Disney, I think this would be a great vacation to take with grandparents because you can make the cruise what you want to make it. If you want to sit at the bar and drink the drink of the day all day and, not do any of the super Disney stuff, you could do that. And, there's a gym on board. You can go work out. You can really make it the vacation you want to have, but still have that family Disney experience that, maybe grandma's not so into Disney, but she can still have a blast on board, I think.
That's awesome.
I'm just curious because I haven't looked at Disney Cruise Line stuff for a while, so I just went to the Disney Cruise Line website. I was just curious. This is the prices I feel like have really come down.
All in, and I honestly don't care if you put this on the podcast, all in for Jude and I. And, you know, granted, we got an inexpensive room, but including our hotel the night before, that's all of our crazy gratuity, all of the extras we did, it was under $3,000 for the.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's crazy because think of just, I mean, food costs alone. If you were trying to pay for a hotel and food.
Well, and think about this.
That adds up.
We talk about this sometimes. Think of how much it costs to stay even in a value level room at the resort. And you're staying like, and you're getting, and you're getting all the food. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of things people don't realize about cruises is it's like everything's included for the most part. Like you could go on a cruise, you could just book your room or whatever, and you don't have to buy any extra things. You could just go and you're fed and everything.
Other than gratuities, which you have to pay, there's really nothing. You don't have to do anything extra. And like I said, if the alcohol was like between $5 and $8 for a drink, which compared to the prices in the parks,
Were paying like $15 for the drinks in the park.
Yeah, exactly. So very reasonable. I didn't feel, and in fact, you know, the people we were traveling with, the husband, he's not a big Disney person at all, and he even commented that he was shocked at how reasonable the prices of the alcohol was.
That's good. Yeah, a lot of times booze on cruise ships are all those like extra additional things are always really kind of pricey because, you know, they're just trying to make profit off of it or whatever. But but you know, I'll tell you, I'm so impressed with cruises in general with the food. The food is always like really good, especially the dining ones in the dining room. Like the food's always very good.
Yeah.
And they pump thousands of them out at a time, but I just don't understand.
It's magic.
Yep, totally. Yeah, I would do another one in a heartbeat. It was thoroughly enjoyable.
Kate, we're down to the end now. If you could work at Disneyland, what would you do? Sky's the limit. It could be a real job, fake job. What would you do?
You do? You know? Yeah. I'm interested to know what Jude thinks I'm going to say.
Jude, what do you think she's going to say?
I think she's going to be like, at the Christmas time, there's like the parade. And then they have like the ski people. And she said she wanted to be that.
Okay. So you know how I feel about the Christmas fantasy parade.
Oh, yes.
I do not love it. But those guys that are skiing, like they're rollerblading, but they're skiing down Main Street. Does that not look so fun?
I'd be afraid my rollerblade would get stuck in the track.
That's true. Yes, that would be a dream. I don't know that I want that to be my job, though, so much as I just want to do it once. This is a combination between a real job and a fake job. So, like, I think I would really like being a plaid, but here's the thing for me. I want to be, like, every man's plaid. Like, not the plaid you have to pay for. I want to be, like, an ambassador for first time Disney guests.
That's great.
Favorite thing in the world is going to the parks with someone who's never been. I find these people, if they're wearing a first time visitor button, I seek them out to talk to them because I love it. Just to see people who didn't know about the magic, experiencing the magic. We were just there last week and I met a woman who was, God, she was probably in her 60s and it was her first time and she was just loving it. And it just gives me chills because you know, you can't get your first time more than once. So to be around people who are experiencing that would just be fabulous, but I don't want people to have to pay for it. I want it to be like, you know, everybody gets that because I really believe that the parks should be for everyone.
Kate and Jude, thank you guys so much for talking with us and sharing your experience from the Disney cruise. And like Teresa said, I hope at some point in the not too distant future that we can get ourselves on a cruise. Because Teresa, you've never been on a cruise, so I'm excited to hear about a first-time cruiser experience. And if it's a Disney one, then that's like double exciting.
Yeah, I think you guys would love it. I think you should definitely do it.
And book through concierge, apparently, because they were helpful.
Yeah, I have not ever had to use a travel agent before because I just have always only gone to Disneyland. So this was kind of my first Disney travel agent experience. And he was great. He was so helpful just navigating all the COVID stuff. And just checking in and making sure we remembered, like, oh, this is the day we're supposed to do sign up for activities or so. And it's free. So why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land. I hope you're feeling pretty good, because you should feel pretty good, because you did decently this week. We'll get to the answers, though. Our first one from listener Matthew H. In the queue for Goofy Sky School, there is an official permit to operate a business. What is the permit actually for? And I'm giving you the points because it is operating a chicken farm business.
Ooh.
Wow.
You should give,
she gets the point.
Yeah. I think Teresa and I together got that one.
Anyway, let's move on to our next question. Our second one, how many pounds of frosting, fondant, and icing was used to help make the gingerbread creation in the Haunted Mansion? You two way overshot this. It was only 260 pounds.
You know,
wow.
I was going to say like 2,000 pounds like Teresa did, and then I was like, I don't know, 2,000 pounds is a lot.
Maybe. I feel like I saw 1,000 pounds of one of the ingredients.
It was probably like flour or something.
I can tell you in this latest Haunted Mansion creation, it was, 10 feet tall, give or take. It's made of approximately 30 pounds of gingerbread, 3 gallons of egg whites, 120 pounds of frosting and icing, 75 pounds of confectioner's sugar, and 140 pounds of fondant, at least according to the Disneyland
Maybe
website.
Maybe it was the thing, the Oogie Boogie.
That was in the Grand Californian.
Yeah, I bet you
that's
the
probably
Oogie
what we're thinking.
Where I got that big number from.
Yeah, but that wasn't the one we were looking for. Anyway, let's carry on. Our third question from Elise K was, to get to the monorail, guests used to board a certain kind of platform. What was it called and how did it work? Right on the money, it was the speed ramp, and describing it as a walking sidewalk was absolutely perfect.
Good job, Tag. Sorry.
I said moving sidewalk.
Well, good job, Teresa, yourself, then.
I wish that they would have kept more of these in the park, because they used to be, like, all over the place, and now the only one is in the Haunted Mansion.
I mean,
so Space Mountain, instead of wandering up or whatever, it was just right there in the front.
Yeah, but they needed to extend the queue, so I...
Whatever. And then the monorail had that.
That is interesting.
What was that? We didn't have headphones on. That's probably what it was before.
That is.
Oh, Ariel does.
No, Ariel just has a moving sidewalk. They don't have
Yeah, Ruben, we're talking about like
the angled ones.
Yeah, it's like angled.
How when you leave the Haunted Mansion, you're going like moving sidewalk up the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, the People Mover had it as well, but obviously that's not there anymore.
I could see that. I guess I don't know why the monorail doesn't have it anymore, because they could still have it.
I think
both stations.
Probably.
Yeah, it could be.
Probably. Easier to clean and stuff, too.
I think it's totally because of maintenance.
Anyway.
Much easier to maintain cement. Yeah, time for our last question. Find me in the park. I'm having a day of meeting characters. After seeing some classic royalty, I head southwest on a narrow path. Maybe I should have said southwestered ho path. I take a right onto the main path and pretty quickly come up on my next character meet and greet just off the side of the main path. Who am I seeing and what's the location called? At least according to the app. I gotta say, I was impressed. You got the location right. It is El Zocalo Park, but not the right character, not a mariachi band, on the right track. I'm actually seeing Miguel from Coco.
Oh!
From Coco.
Oh, I forgot that he was... I was thinking,
see, I thought
Miguel,
he was only over
I was
in...
like, oh, I think he's just in DCA, though.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I was so surprised when I saw him in the app on that place. I'm like, this would be a great place to go and meet Miguel. This should totally
be
on my list of characters to go and see next time we're there.
Very cool.
So that's our trip to Trivia Land. How do you think Tag and Teresa did? Do you think you could stump them a little better or maybe help them get answers right? I'm sure they'd like that too. You just have to send producer Vern and I an email. You can send that to us at trivia@dlweekly.net, and we'd love to ask your questions.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.